What's going on, y'all? This is Freedom of Mind. Red Will in the house. L True is up in the house. L, whatever you want to call him. What's up with L?
Yeah, you already know L True, L2, all type of stuff. You know what I'm saying? I'm on my dip set, you know, fly shit, you know. Hey, shout out to the Locks versus Dip Set. Great verses. Especially that's what I expected. I expected that hardcore, you know, New York scene where everybody talks shit about somebody, or it's all love at the end of the day, right? Because we all love both groups. Locke's been with us for 20 plus years. Dipset, 20 plus years. You know, Dipset was a little bit more of my generation. Yeah. Early 2000s and shit, of course. Like when Cam came out in the spit and he had that Oh Boy, Juelz, Hey Ma, What's Up, like all that shit, you know. Dipset, I'm Ready, all type of stuff. Like Dipset was, that shit was cold. The Locks, I knew the Locks, like especially when they were Warlocks. Like this was like battle scene, like Yonkers, you know. And then, you know, X, DMX came out around that time too. And you know, my first song with the Locks was actually a Jadakiss song, right? He came out with one of his joints, and Styles P, I Get High. That was my first like Style P song. So Locks, man, hey, shout out to the boat, you know, both groups, man. That was an amazing battle. Whoever the fuck won is whoever the fuck won. Like Jadakiss said, who did that joint? Who did that? You know what I'm saying? Hey, shout out to both, man. Greatest, top greatest groups of all time. Shout out to Nasir, you know, Godson Across the Belly, I Prove You Lost Already, you know. King's Disease Part 2 came out, rocking with that joint heavy, you know. A lot of shit happened in hip-hop this week. I just wanted to give a brush about it, you know. Man, it's time, man, it's time for a lot of shit. Kanye's album dropping, whenever he decides to drop it in the next 20 years, we'll get it. You know, Donda, rest in peace to his beautiful mother. He named the album after and stuff. I heard some of that. I'm telling you, he got heat coming. Kanye got some. I know he wearing a mask. I don't know what is it with the pantyhose on his head, you know. Got the whole mask covering his face. He going through a phase, which is, Wyoming got him crazy right now. He out in the middle of nowhere with cattle and sheep. That's all he got out there, you know, so. Shout out to Kanye, man. I hope Drake's album drops too, you know, because shit, we need some R&B in our lives. We need some singing. We need some light-skinnedness, you know?
If you want to call that R&B, it's sad where R&B has come to, where we're calling stuff that ain't R&B, R&B. So, but
it's R&B. Okay, Drake is a certified lover boy, okay? So he's a rapper, but he could be a singer at the same time. Don't let the light skin fool you. Oh, and while we on, sorry Drake, but Rihanna, she became a billionaire recently. Shout out to Savage Fenty, her line of cosmetics and stuff, amazing. You know, she's one of the first female artists, females in general, to become a billionaire, you know, just off of that. You know, so a rude boy, shout out to the island gal, you know. Hey, mad props to the princess, you know, to the queen. You know, she wasn't just her music career. She pushed that further, you know, businesswoman. So shout out to the sister, you know. You know, that's something to be proud of. Billionaire?
Yeah, that's huge, man. That's a big deal. That kind of made me want to speculate on some things, right? I always bring up racism. I don't give a fuck. That's what it is right now. That's how it is. When you talk about control, mind control, when we talk about oppression, whatever, right? So, you know, you bring up Rihanna and her success, right? First billionaire, a female billionaire, whatever. Nobody, she wasn't the first female billionaire. You got Oprah and all that, but pretty much seems like there are some, you know, the black people, you know, particularly in this nation, in this society, achieve billionaire status. Not all of us, but a lot of us have achieved billionaire status from entertainment. So are we just, is that what we only capable of, or?
She's not just entertainment, though. She has the
apparel.
She has the cosmetic apparel, you know, like that's business right there.
Okay.
She's selling products to the masses.
What is her occupation?
She's a business lady.
She's an entertainer. So you got a lot of entertainers.
She doesn't entertain no more, though. She doesn't do music no more.
Listen, my point is, I'm trying to make an overall point. You got to look at the overall point here. I'm trying to paint a picture. Don't just look at the fine little details of the picture. Look at the overall picture, right? Monet style. You got to walk up and down for you to know what the fuck is going on. I'm Monet. Well, I'm not Monet, but I'm Monet. Plus, the name of my brand is Realism anyway, like the movement that Monet started. So, I don't know. Monet is the shit. Well, he was. So, anyway, check this out. So, I'm saying this is what I'm getting to. So, no, that is not the only thing that black people are capable of. But goddamn it, these motherfuckers got so much control over every goddamn thing, and they get away with every fucking thing. We're able to emerge and stuff that we kind of got our little. We can go through the back door when it comes to the entertainment world. No, we start talking about other stuff or whatever. We start talking about property, and we start talking about engineering, whatever. Different stuff, different industries, whatever. No, that's going to be a little bit of a challenge. Or, you know, and they're not going to play a fair fight, right? So that's all I'm getting to, whatever. So, not to take away anything from Rihanna. Rihanna doing her thing. A clothing line is really good and it's affordable. She got a smart approach. It's another thing I want to bring up too. With black folks who want to sell their shit for large sums of money, whatever. Yeah, you understand your worth and all that, whatever. But we got to get it to another level of business here. Rihanna is tearing the game up because her stuff is, she got good quality products and it's affordable. And she's reaching all kinds of different crowds. Right, Target. She's selling her stuff at Target.
That's major, right?
That is not nothing to be shameful about. That's another thing. That's another thing. It's females, right? Females will shop any goddamn way. It don't matter to them. I remember my female was like looking at, because she was looking at some clothes at Walmart. She's like, oh, you're not going to go over there and look at that stuff? I'm like, hell no, I'm going to the motherfucking Walmart to go get my clothes. No.
And it's the power that she has.
Huh?
Savage Fenty. They'll pick that up because
that's
Rihanna.
Yeah, it's Rihanna. Right? And it got a cool, the whole marketing brand scheme is just, it's just great. You know, like, it's a cool name. Like I say, it's good quality looking stuff. And it has good affordable prices. She sells it at stores that... So she's not bougie about it. Like, I'm not going to sell it to them. You know, no. She's like, I want to sell it to, and I want to make it affordable to the average person out there. You know what I'm saying?
That's a wealthy mindset.
That's what I'm fucking saying. Black people need to step your game up and be smarter than that when you're selling shit. Now, no, my shit going to be, you know, I'm trying to be Louis Vuitton status. You know, I'm going to sell my shit. Well, I don't want to say it, sound ignorant or whatever, but I want to be Louis Vuitton status, and I want to sell my shit for different prices and all that other stuff.
Jordan is nice, but at the same time, his smart little way. The average cat can buy Jordan right now.
He got everybody buying his shit. He got motherfuckers from different countries and all that buying his shit. He got white folks buying his shit. That's probably where he's getting most of the sales is white people buying from motherfucking Jays. I didn't see white dudes with Jays on. I just saw this older mid-aged white dude in his 50s, 60s wearing some Jays. I'm like, I did a double, what the fuck? This motherfucker had on the 13s. I was like, what the fuck? No, so hey, but this is the intro. That's a long ass intro. But hey, y'all, we got things to talk about. We're talking about Chi-Town up in here, y'all. So, hey. This is Freedom of Mind, y'all. We're keeping it cracking. Vibing to this King Von. You know what I'm saying? It turned out up, man.
was just his birthday too.
Was it? Man. So, you know, this automatically makes us think it's Shy, you know, Chicago, right? And the influence it's had on hip-hop of late. Also, right, the Midwest sound, every day that they got it, they revitalized whatever. First, it was that fast rapping stuff or whatever. You know, Twista and, you know, Bone and Do or Die, cats like that. You know, that kind of, you know, outdated itself.
Bone was like
Well, it's Midwest. So Chicago, man, it's been hot. I know it's been hot for a while, but not hot like this, right? You know, every time you turn around, somebody from Chicago, a rapper, who fucking died. So like, goddamn, slow the fuck down. What the fuck is going on out there, man? What the fuck is going on? I was talking to this one cat who's from Chicago, and he was telling me a little bit about, you know, his take on what's going on. And what I was getting out of that was like, you know, a combination of people letting them down, and then just young guys wilding out, man. It's not being responsible, not holding their own lives accountable. Well, I got him with, well, hell, what do you expect for them to do? I'm not making an excuse for them. I'm trying to be logical. They're limited in resources. They don't have much. What they gonna? It's still segregated, right? You know, design that whole design shit. We get into that, all that bullshit or whatever that they do. And I was also telling him that it got worse because of El Chapo, because El Chapo's drugs got distributed. Well, we're talking about now. You're not talking about back then. So his drugs. Right. That's true. Very true. You talk about like you getting into the history of it or whatever, but hell, the drugs gotta come from somewhere, the alcohol and all that or whatever had to come from somewhere. You know what I'm saying? It ain't coming from Chicago. You know what I'm saying? It's too goddamn cold and windy to be growing shit out there. No, but well, yeah, that too, right? You know, well, you talk about the booze and all that, right? You know, you talking about with the supplies, or whatever. Because we talk about here. This is what we talking about here. We're talking about straight up contraband, right? Specific contraband like drugs and guns. They're not getting it from Chicago. They're definitely not getting it from the hood. Where are they getting this stuff from? So and you know who's allowing this stuff, right? See, you got a bunch of kids. Like, first of all, we holding kids way too accountable and not accountable, but way too high. You know what I'm saying? You're talking about a 14-15 year old. You know, they're struggling, he living in the hood, they don't have much. You give them, what's up?
Break that down. On the East Coast, we have subsidized housing. The West Coast is subsidized housing. On the East Coast, we have, you know, projects, tenement buildings and shit. Motherfuckers just stack
down. Well, you know, again, you know, no, I'm not from Chicago. I've never visited Chicago. I drove by it, you know, when I was truck driving, but that don't count, you know. But I know I've never actually been to Chicago. So
basically they put people up poverty. They stacked them together, right?
Yeah, like projects, yeah.
So basically, like in Boston we have the housing authority. It's the same thing for Chicago, right? In the Shy, what they did was, this was back in the early 60s, early 70s. Mainly it was part of segregation, right? They stick everybody of the lower class, the on the south side of the Shy, for mostly all the people that came from the South that immigrated to the Shy around this time, to segregate and put people that are of poverty out of the slums and just pack them into one building, these tenement buildings. They did the same shit in Boston. These project buildings where it wasn't really constructed well. Everybody was on housing authority, so everybody had, you know, their rent taken care of. They was on food stamps. Urine was in the hallway, was never really well kept. The landlords, the people that owned the land and stuff, they didn't really, you know, keep it up right. If somebody's apartment was messed up, it wasn't really, you know, attended to. You know, like I said, there was fiends everywhere, crack in the hallway, all types of shit in the projects. This is the same as Boston was, you know, and some of the projects that I've been around and stuff. And that's how the city of the Shy really came about, with all these, you know,
you know, subsidized housing and stuff. Like, we have Cabrini Green and all type of projects that are over there in the Shy, you know. Inglewood, all that shit. All that stuff that these kids, you know, that they like glorifying in music, they don't really understand how it is living in the type of situation. How you're, you know, fenced off from the rest of the city, or you're fenced off and people look at you like you a wild animal or some shit. How segregated shit is still, you know, in the city. I'm not from the Shy. I have a lot of roots that are, you know, in the Shy. Like, you know, a lot of my peoples that, you know, from Boston, they also lived in the Shy. So, you know, I love the Shy. The Shy is like a second city from my city, you know. And I love the Shy for just the musical influence. I love the Shy for like the soul that they bring to the game, that they really stand on their integrity and they really are who they say they are. And, you know, you got to really, when you're there, you better speak up for yourself, you know, because a lot of shit is, you know, they going to call you out on it if you just being, you know, weird as hell, or as they put it, bogus. You know, I think a lot of kids, and I just want to say that a lot of kids in the game or that are just watching that are so influenced heavy by the drill music and by Chicago's, you know, influence and rap. You know, I just want to say to the kids out there, to the youth, that it's not really in their best interest to emulate somebody else's culture, to personify things that is somebody else's culture that they just don't have a knowledge for. You know what I'm saying? If they never had somebody they lost to violence, you know, or if they don't have any oppositions, or as they call it, ops, or if they don't have anything like that and they just saying shit just to say shit, that shit is ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? A lot of the youth that say that they're smoking on somebody's dead homie or something, that's Chicago's culture. You know what I'm saying? That's what they do, because they're back and forth with wars between, you know, the P-Stones that are over there, the Vice Lords, the motherfucking GDs, the BDs. It's all a war over there. You know, and this shit goes back to even Fred Hampton days with the Black Panthers and that assassination that happened. Chicago is not a wicked city, but it's a city that was filled with so much of this violence and this segregation. So a lot of the youth out here that is just listening in the music, they don't really understand that culture as much, and they emulate it so much, but they don't understand it. And to me, I don't find that shit amusing. You know, when I grew up in high school, like my high school days, Chief Keef just started coming out. This was like 2012, around that time. You know, so many kids from my high school emulated that shit to a point like they thought they was really Chicago or something. And it's just crazy to see that shit. Like, one of my peoples that I lost, that was really dearest to me, was a high school friend, was shot and killed in the face, right? Shot to death. One shot to the face. He wasn't even causing any issues, right? He was with a dude that was causing the issues. Two dudes came out, started blasting. The dude that he was with that was causing the issues started blasting. This kid wasn't even mixed up in the situation. He was still killed. The dude that was with him that was causing issues survived. You know what I'm saying? Like, this whole culture that, you know, we lost a lot of homies or whatever, and y'all don't really know how that feels. You don't really know how that, you know, that PTSD can come about. I done lost so many people to a lot of this violent shit, and it's not really a fun game, you know? And you can, when you've experienced some, you can kind of see like, oh, that's Chicago culture, right? No, that's what they experience every day. It's a constant, one of their homies get killed, or one of my homies just retaliated and I spin that block. We just lost Edi 600, another rapper from Chicago. He was in the news just last week. He was shot and killed fatally. FBG, Duck, the list goes on. Von, King Von. He wasn't killed in Chicago, but he was still killed, right? But we'll list the rappers that was killed in Chicago. We can go Duck. We can go Edi 600. We can go L.A. Capone. You know what I'm saying? We have so many that were shot and killed in Chicago. These rappers that haven't even had their fully chance to, you know, fully come out. Duck was out for a while, Capone was out for a little bit. E-Dye was out for a little bit. But I mean, you see what I'm saying? A few of the artists that I won't say their names, but big artists like Dirt, Chief, you know, Chief Keef, they lost a lot to this shit too. And there's so many people that was in the new, like Dirk just lost his brother.
How about
you know, in Chicago.
The violence just goes on.
How about Jennifer Hudson's family being shot and killed in Chicago? You know, and some people may have a question, you know, why her mom even still stayed in that environment, you know, but you know, that's alarming, you know.
The violence just never stops. And you know, a lot of things it has to do with like territory, you know, like this side, I'm from South Side, or I'm from the West Side, or you know, this and that and the third, you know, it all has to do with territory, you know, and it nothing but a near number, like I'm from 63rd, or this one from 71st St. Lawrence, or this one and that, and it all goes BDs and GDs. But what I'm trying to, my point across is like, people need to understand that's Chicago culture, though. That's their culture. That's what type of environment they're in. And it's not, you know, to be taken lightly, and it's not to be emulated by the kids that are just watching it from the outside.
It's kind of like LA, right?
You know, to steal somebody else's culture or their views on things. Like, it's okay to love the drill music. Drill music is always on fire. It's always been. But at the same time, when you take somebody else's culture and you make it as it's your own, so now you're a rapper that is on SoundCloud making drill music about I just smoked his homie or iPack or whatever the case, you don't understand that, you know, there's a lot of lives behind this. There's a lot of PTSD that forms behind this shit. There's a lot of, you know, traumatic funerals, and then moms that have to hear their sons' names and songs because this one, this one, you know what I'm saying? This one is smoking on Duck, or this one's smoking on E-Dye. Like, all this shit is just weird to me. To me, it's weird. And it's probably because I'm from the East Coast and I understand the culture a little bit better, but I have respect. I have the utmost respect. And, you know, not even saying I have a personal connection, but, you know, experiencing the loss of people that were close to me in such a violent way, you know, I do understand the city a lot more. I do understand their culture a little bit more, or I understand their feelings, you know. And the Shy, a lot of people don't realize been great musical influences that came out the Shy. Like, people just put Chicago as like, that's why I don't even call it none of that other name that people call it. What do they call it? Chirac and all that other stuff. I call it the Shy. I always knew it as the Shy or Chi-Town. You know what I'm saying? People don't realize the great things that came out of Chicago. You know, Bulls in 89 to the late 90s with Michael Jordan, or, you know, we got the R. Kellys of the world, the Twisters. We got Common. You know, we got so many influential artists that came out of Chicago. Great movies that came out of Chicago, like Barbershop. That's a cult classic right there as well. Oprah Winfrey, right? From Chicago, had the show in Chicago. So, I mean, it's a shame, but a lot of people don't shed the light to the good things, you know? And I'm an advocate that's just speaking from the outside. I mean, I'm pretty sure a lot of brothers from the Shy can really speak on it, you know. But it's a subject that I thought was well supposed to be brought up, because it's a lot of shit that I see like on social media and shit that just be bugging me to a point, you know. When I see a lot of young kids, like I learned the hard way of how it feels to lose somebody close to you. I learned the hard way of a lot of shit, but at the same time, I was never that type of person to try to emulate something else that's not my culture or something that I don't have any understanding to. And as I grew up, I still listen to, you know, Dirk and all of them. But I mean, you know, I understand, you know, I understand a little bit more to where you never going to catch me saying I'm smoking on this one, or you never going to catch me talking about goofy this, or, you know, bogus as hell. None of that shit. That's not mine. You know, where I'm from, we call that jocking. You know, I had respect for it to understand it that much, you know? And just kids out there need to be, you know, better. They need to understand that their culture is not, you know, it's not the same as another city would be. Maybe it's similar, but it's not the same, you know? So that's just a strong PSA for all the kids out there, man, that think they just wild and ruthless, or, you know, is so focused on the villain in the movie that they not really seeing the full picture. A lot of people really lose their lives behind this shit, you know? A lot of funerals, a lot of crying mothers. And I think until you feel a loss of somebody that's close to you, and then you hear his name being repeated in a disrespectful way, then you'll understand how shit feels, because shit don't feel well. You know what I'm saying? That's what I wanted to say to the youth out there. Shout out to the Shy Man. You know, it's a beautiful city, great influence to a lot of our culture nowadays. I mean, it's literally like Lil Durk is one of the biggest artists ever. If we can bring him up in rap, he done so much in the past 10 plus years of him rapping. He's done enough for this game that we can put him into. Yeah, he's one of he's gonna attest to the you know, the time, you know, because he was so a big part of the generation that has brought up now. A lot of rappers that kind of sound like Durk or use his lyrics or his own, like, you know, way of doing things, you know? A lot of rappers is like Durk. A lot of rappers is like Chief Keef.
Okay, so, kind of bring that up. You see, one thing that I noticed about a lot of these new generation rappers is that they really don't really pay attention to hip-hop. They don't study hip-hop, the history of it. A lot of them don't. Like I say, just a bunch of young guys that's trying to make some money, trying to get paid. I ain't mad at that. But at the same time, when we start, you know, when we get to talking about the hip hop discussion and all that stuff, you know, whether they like it or not, they are part of a community. They're part of a movement, right? They're part of a movement they don't know anything about. They don't care to know anything about. They start following hip hop when they really pursued in it. So at some point in their lives or whatever, I don't know, maybe 13, 14 years old, you're like, okay, now. Does it look like it looks like probably even a little later on than that, honestly, when you record and then you put it online or whatever on YouTube, whatever, and it goes viral, goes a little viral. That's when you know, and then so you listen to the cats around you. You listen to the cats around you, and you listen to the cats who's trending and all that or whatever. You're on YouTube a lot anyway, so whatever, you know. So pretty much cats from your generation is who you really focus on. So you base a lot of things off of that. And that's what it sounded like when you was talking about Lil Durk and all that, how he, you know, you talking about the best ever discussion. Whoa, slow your roll. So you got these young cats and, okay, when you start talking about record sales, and that's one thing. When you start talking about legacy and impact and influence and all, that's another. So
that's what's putting them in the category.
Hold up. So I'm sorry, I don't mean to sound harsh, despite the little bit of success that they did get, or you know, the significant success that they have, but you talk about influencing guys like whomever that was under them. You start talking about the guys like Kodak Blacks and the little Uzi Berts and Verts or whatever the fuck his name is, and all the little guys, little baby, and all the whatever. That's not much to speak of. I'm sorry, it's not like, that's not much to speak of, bro. But then I was telling you this too, you know, off the mic. Well, you know, before we recorded, I was saying off the mic before we start recording. But you know, you got guys that take a style that's already, or a concept that's already been there, and they take it and they put their own little twist to it, and then you got cats that kind of go off their little style of what they did. So that's significant, but that's just like this. Like, you know how Mustard, DJ Mustard or whatever his name is, Mustard, he claimed, it was like something I heard about him on the radio or the article or something. I think he said he considered his music ratchet music. It was like, bro, your music is straight up hyphy. You make hyphy beats. But you just pretty much made your own version of hyphy. That's pretty much what Buster did. But he makes hyphy stuff. And that goes all the way back to the Bay Area, you know, Sam Mac Dre, E-40, those cats. So, you know, Keek the Sneak, those guys. So that, you know, you didn't come up with that. But that's just like, oh, you know, saying that Mustard is like, oh, you know, he's the greatest producer. Or he should be considered the greatest hip hop producer ever and all that. No. He came up, you know, talking about influence and all that, whatever. He got influenced. He came up with, he got inspired to come up with a concept or whatever. And probably didn't even realize it at the time. But that's what he was around. He was around that type of environment. That means he's from the West Coast. Guys was playing E-40. People from California, Californians love E-40. You know what I'm saying? That's what you're going to hear. You're going to be playing that all the time. You from the East Coast. I'm pretty sure you wasn't too familiar with E-40. You know what I'm saying? And then, see, he's imitating him like as if, like, you know, like he thinks that he sounds silly. So, no, we take him very seriously. So, no, you know, so. You know, another one is Sugar Free. You know, he sounds very unique. So,
Too Short, too.
Well, you know, Too Short.
Too Short did because he's the first one I heard say bitches and all that shit. Like, Too Short. Like,
hey,
that type of
hit. Hey, what? His guys from the West Coast was just original. They're very unique, man. It was his main thing. He's from the West Coast. Yeah, so, it's not just. All I'm getting to is just. You know, who really influenced whom? That's all I'm saying. And do your homework. Those guys didn't do their homework. You can't do your homework on each other. No. You got to go a little deeper than that. You know what I'm saying? Oh, the homie, you know, he sound like that. So I'm kind of take that and do this. And then you reflect back to Tupac and, oh, he's boring and all this. Because you didn't really pay attention to it. You don't know what you're talking about. You know what I'm saying? And it's not just how you sound. It's what you be saying, too. It's a combination of all that. So, back to Chicago. So, I wish there was a solution for this. See, like, when it comes to black issues and black matters, it's like, there's nothing we can do about it and all this, whatever. Yes, the fuck it is. Get rid of that shit. Okay? No, it's not going to eliminate 100% of the violence. No, it's not. Okay? If you want to pull all the smart aleck technical people. But it's going to get rid of a lot of that shit. You know, we all know a large fraction of it. We all know if it was going on with white kids, they would have been did something about that. They would have got rid of the fucking drug activity. But with black people, oh, it's impossible. It's not going to happen. It's just too much controversy. Get the fuck out of here. Okay? Like I was saying, you know, if they care. I don't have anything against Mexican people. I don't have anything against, but let's get to the facts here that in recent times, those drugs were filtering, a lot of them, from El Chapo's cartel. It's a fact. If you look at the article right here, it's in the Chicago Tribune. Chicago Tribune is a huge...
Be as it may, that ain't coming from Mexico. That shit is straight from South
America,
Colombia.
Oh, no. They make shit in Mexico, too. They said they make drugs. Drugs be coming from there. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You didn't watch Colombia. You ain't watched this shit. They said this motherfucker learned when he was a kid. El Chapo learned how to grow fucking cocaine, marijuana in Mexico.
He learned how to do that shit. He learned how to do tunnels. He got tunnels.
Oh, there wasn't no joke.
He knew how to dig.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that too. You know, they dig his ass out of jail too. So. So, you know,
I got no problem with the Mexicans. You know what I'm saying?
Look. This article was titled "How Chicago Became a Key Hub in El Chapo's Massive U.S. Drug Operation." Chicago twin testifies in historic trial. So they pretty much the guys that work for him, they turned on him and they ended up snitching on him. So, but yeah, that stuff was coming from El Chapo. So not to reiterate too much, get to the main source of the issue here, man. And it's just these drugs, all this bad shit coming in, and they just get into the hands of our especially our youth, not just our youth in Chicago, but a lot of them. That's a real shame, you know. Things need to fucking change in Chicago. I always got hope, and I got hope for black people. I know what we're capable of. a lot of people don't have, you know, or you underestimate us and all that or whatever. That's why you think nothing can happen, can change within Black communities, because you think lowly of us. So it absolutely can change, and it has to fucking change. It's ridiculous out there. Or these people think, oh, you know, you just fuck up and, you know, you just need to hold yourself accountable. Again, you wouldn't think that way for everyone else. Like, I'm looking at the explanation for, I'm looking up the most murderous, you know, murder capitals around the world or whatever. No, it is not anywhere as Black. It's not anywhere in the United States. It's not anywhere in Africa. No, it is actually, and I'm not putting people down. I'm just being real logical. I'm not putting anyone down. I'm just trying to be factual. It's usually one of those Central American countries. Ecuador. What's the other one? No, that's in South America. But yeah, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
You can't fly planes
in
a circus.
That means that you can't fuck around, right? So it'd be shit going down or whatever, and be the mad cartels going on, all that. And you know what their explanation was? It makes logical sense. Their explanation was because law enforcement is not very prevalent. So cats just be doing shit or whatever, and who the hell is gonna stop them? So, but listen to my point. My overall point is there is an explanation and reasons for that. But when we talk about Chicago, oh, those are some fucked up ass kids, and there's nothing anyone can do about it. You know, stop it. Okay. So that's the point I'm trying to make. So, but something needs to be done.
The history that's been happening, but the history. Okay, I understand that some things can be done, but you talking about this history all goes back to, you know, the start of, you know, between, we'll go Fred Hampton with the assassination of Fred Hampton, right? How wicked that was. We can talk about the different gangs that are in Chicago, the BDs, GD, Black Disciple, but GD was growth and development. It was made from Larry Hoover. So, you know what I'm saying? He, you know, he created BD, but he also created GD as well. But you talking, what my point is, you mean that a fraction of this can change, but what about the mindset of most of these young kids out there? What about the mindset of that? That mindset, you can't just say, I'm going to put this development in front of you, this project that the politicians has put together, and expect you to go a part of this program and just stop all the dumb shit. Some of these young kids, they ready to die. That's it. They ready for war. This side don't care about what the other one cares about. This one don't care. Like, they just ready. Like, what's your, you know, point across with just the few that don't want? They don't want the help. They know that they living in the gutter, and they stacked on top of each other, or they living in the worst, poorest of neighborhoods, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, they don't really got nothing. They don't got nothing. And they, and the Shy too, it's a political system too. So if you Black, or if you're in minority, and you're in a group, you're going to be locked up that day if you get caught by the police. So you have a constant system over there that is dedicated to putting the minority and the Black behind bars, no matter what. So you got these kids that are in and out of the system that learn some of that knowledge from jail, bring it out on the streets, and have to constantly be, you know, carrying around something like they in the army or something, because it's a constant hate, it's a constant jealousy, it's a constant tension. You know what I'm saying? And it's not just from the opposite side. It's not from my fellow Black brother that's next door neighbor that just hates me. It's from the police too. Because police is shooting as well. Police wait at least 5 to 10 minutes, or no, 20 minutes after a scene in Chicago. Like with that FBG duck, when he was shot and killed, the ambulance took forever to get down there. And let me just tell you, where he got killed was around the Louis V store in downtown Chicago, where all the major cities, subsidiary shops and stuff. So how is that shit going to be fixed? You know what I'm saying? If shit is happening like that downtown, and with the political system that it is, with the political system where the police wait for the scene to be cleared, or the ambulance wait for the scene to, like, this brother is laying there shot dead. You know what I'm saying? How is that going to be fixed with just these projects that the politicians can put into place?
Because to me, a fraction of that can be fixed, but it all goes back to somebody's mindset or a political gain that has been in Chicago for years on top of years with the building of these projects and the segregation and all this other stuff. This city has had a big migration in the late 60s and 70s. I was watching a documentary on this. That's why, you know, you have your Sam Cooks that came from, you know, the South and immigrated up to Chicago. You got most of the Southerners that was suffering oppression and all this.
It was like 30s.
Oh, it was even after that. Two migrations. And even after that, because you had still, there was still segregation in the South.
It wasn't
a big thing, but you still had segregation in the South, so they thought things would be better in the North. And the North still fuck up, because you have the city of Chicago, you have the main central city, then you have the South Side, the West Side, the East Side, the North Side. But you have this city where they're like, damn, we have all these migrant people that came from the South, and you know, it was predominantly like a white, you know, area in Chicago. And now you have the white politicians that was in place in the 60s and 70s. And they were scared of this shit, you know, the overpopulated of more minority coming to the city. You know what I'm saying? So with a city that has been not in turmoil, but with a city that has been through so much oppression, how will these little, you know, projects really benefit or help?
Well, you know, obviously you got to get rid of the problem first. And you got to give them something. Like I said, they don't have anything, you know, like you said. What they do have is drugs and, you know, that they have contraband that they do and they make money with. Okay, so why do they feel the need to make money? What do they need to make money for? And you know, so they want to live good and fancy and all that and stuff. But also they have to eat. You know what I'm saying? They need a place to live. How else are they going to do that? You know what I'm saying? Let's start off with this. So okay, where they live, it's, you know, it's in the hood, it's projects. It's not great for the most part. You know, what kind of education are they getting? You know, do they have any mental going on or whatever? Do their parents have any mental going on? So how's their mental health? How is their physical health? First of all, you know, were they delivered properly in the hospital? Were they delivered in a good enough facility, hospital, you know, medical facility? Okay, then they're born, you know, and then, you know, that ADHD pops up, whatever, a lot of that going on. It's real popular in the 80s, a lot of, you know, it's because of whatever, people blame it on the drugs, crack epidemic and all that or whatever, but still going on or whatever. Still a lot of kids with those kind of conditions or whatever. And that has never been addressed. So that means when they go to school, are they going to be good students? Do they have any learning disabilities? Or, you know, like, is it being addressed? No, it's not. Do people care? No, they don't. So they're not really being paid attention in school or whatever. They still living in the hood. Okay, they still broke. And they watch TV and they see people living good or whatever. They want to live like that. So that's another thing. Kids do what they see. They don't know any better. So they do what they see. They emulate what they see. That's the only way that they learn. You see a little baby, whatever, they seeing things. They don't know how to read yet. So what are they going to do? They're going to go off what they see. They're just going to emulate it. They don't even know. They don't even realize it. They're not thinking it through because they can't. So what else can I do? And I'm around this shit. So I'm going to be the best gangbanger, best drug dealer I can be, because that's all what's available. I'm not going to succeed in school. That's a waste of time. That's what the big homie said. And then, like, you know, and then really low-key, I'm not doing great in school anyway. And if I am doing well in school, whatever, it's boring. It's not interesting to me. It's like, it's just a waste of time. So let me go ahead and sell these drugs or whatever. The big homie is giving it to me. I'm in high school now, 14 years old, 15 years old. So let me go ahead. Yeah, fuck these hood rats and all that or whatever. And I lived a good life. What if that's the best life that I can live? And you know, this reminds me of, you know, like, you know me, I'm a huge fan of Quincy Jones. You know, Quincy Jones is originally from Chicago. he eventually moved to Seattle, but he was born and partially raised in Chicago. And you know what he said that he wanted to do when he was a kid? He said he wanted to be a gangster. He said that. He's like, I wanted to be a gangster. He said that I was the coolest thing to be. And that's all I knew how I want or what I wanted to do. That's what I was around. And then luckily, you know what I'm saying? You know, I want to say luckily, but you know, different things happen in his life, you know what I'm saying, with his parents and all that, and his upbringing. But, you know, he moved to Chicago. And then I think he met Lionel Hampton. And then I think that was what helped change around, you know, and what got him involved in music. You know, thank goodness, right? You know, because, you know, for his sake or whatever, because he got into something, you know, better, you know what I'm saying, safer and all that. And that was the right thing. Obviously, he's a musical genius, you know. So, but yeah, that's what he said when he was a kid. That's what he wanted to be. So, and you know, he's from Chicago. Like you said, the long history of it, you know what I'm saying? You go back to Al Capone days and all that and stuff, you know. He brought that stuff in there, whatever, you know, saying bootleg and all that. Prohibition was going on. They took full advantage of that. A lot of violence going on. You know, they were gangsters. So, but yeah, like, to get rid of the resources. Put better resources in there. That's what you need. We gotta exchange resources. We gotta give a shit more about these black kids. Like I say, it starts with the process, or whatever. Because you know, when you talk about systemic racism, it's all over, man. All the basic necessities and all aspects of life, man. We talk about health, mental and physical health. We talk about education when we're talking about you know, living. Housing or whatnot. When we talk about, you know, those basic things right there, whatever. You know, if I'm missing anything, you should get the point. But yeah, it just needs to be better. You know, like I like what LeBron James is doing. You know, another guy from the Midwest. He's, you know, from the Cleveland area. You know, in education, you know, he's putting emphasis on that. And he's not the only one, you know, only ball player that's doing that or whatever. You know, Jalen Rose, he got a program similar to that, like that. Actually, I think in Chicago, because no, he's from Detroit. It's in Detroit. So that's cool. Another Midwest guy. Another Midwest guy, I know. They need some cats, you know.
Some reason Detroit and Chicago would be at it. It's like Boston, New York.
I mean, you know, it's just a. So probably a, you know, probably what, just probably a 3-hour drive or whatever, you know, and that's that, you know what I'm saying? So that's what they do, you know, like cats from the Midwest. Oh yeah, oh my god, they got hit hard, bro. They got hit hard, bro. Detroit, that's another rough city, man. They got hit hard, man. I remember it was this cat, you know. You know, like, you know, that's in law enforcement with me. He was talking about, you know, he's from Detroit. He was talking about he could get a job out there easily, you know, as a cop, because he wanted to be a cop.
I'm good.
Yeah. He's like, I don't, he was contemplating, like, I don't know, man. He was like, but I know I could get a job there real quick.
That's why you can get
but
a
he
job.
Was like, it's harder to get a job out here.
That's the bullshit. All these jobs that are dangerous. All these jobs and shit, they put urgently hiring and shit. That's why, because motherfuckers is dying out there and shit. He gonna walk his ass down there. I want to be a police officer. Okay, you can get hired today. No background, no nothing. Get yourself, you know, in the neighborhood of 8 Mile or something, you know? Like, that's why they urgently hiring and shit. Fuck that. You know, and not to get away from the Shire, but Detroit, man, full of abandoned homes, too. A lot of abandoned homes in Detroit. When General Motors and all that went under, you know, I mean, a lot of people lost their jobs, a lot of abandoned homes, man, a lot of fires. White Boy Rick took the city over, you know, with a lot of cocaine. That was the flyest white boy you ever seen. You know, Detroit has its gangsters. Don't get Detroit fucked up. Detroit has its gangsters. And it has their rappers, you know. My first Detroit rapper, Eminem. But if I'm like really being serious, like shit, I'll go back to D12. You know, D12 was like Obi Trice. Slump Village. Detroit, man. Detroit. It gets hot over there.
Royce, of course. So Detroit has had his battles too. Like most of the Midwest had his battles. Like even in Milwaukee had his battles. You see what's going on in Minnesota, how that is divided. Minnesota is kind of Midwest. You see what happened with George Floyd, that situation. Minnesota is very, very divided. Minnesota has been.
Was that Minnesota?
Yeah, that was Minnesota. George Floyd, the situation happened in Minnesota. That is very divided. Minnesota is like a, it's like a hub for a lot of states because it's like right in the middle, you know. So rest in peace to that brother George Floyd. Thank to the blessings above that that cop got what he got. You know, that's a whole nother story for another day. But that's the type of stuff that most of these cities, like even back home in Boston, like that's all we knew was segregation, right? We knew which neighborhoods and not to go in. It was like this imaginary borderline. Like you see it in the cement. You're like, oh shit, no, I'm not going there. It's just, there needs to be change. There needs to be political change. I hate to say, oh, we all need to come together because I mean, that it sounds good, but at the same time, is our mentality gonna get us there? Like how Dr. King said, you know, nonviolence is the best. But for some of us that been oppressed too long and, you know, we're more like a Malcolm X, like I got a rifle with a fucking scope, you know? Like a lot of things sound good, but then, you know, are we really at that mind state? Even with the Black Panthers, nonviolence, but they shooting at us or they, you know, hosing us down or sicking the dogs on us. No, I don't think so with that nonviolence. That shit don't, no, that don't fly, you know? So I like to say, can we all, you know, come together? But a lot of times we divide it even amongst our people. If we really get into it, like there's been stories, going back to the Fred Hampton story for Chicago, I watched Judas and the Black Messiah. Now, even amongst our people, like there's still a divide, you know, because you know how they use some undercover agents to infiltrate the Black Panthers. And that was brothers the same color of skin. Okay. You know, there's still a divide. Okay. There's still a divide. You gotta acknowledge
I want to talk about this. So, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, watching, you know, the Black Messiah movie or whatever. And hold up. No. Hold up. No. Hold up. So, like I said, I feel that, you know, we underestimate their abilities, you know, white supremacy and how they do. And it's psychological. Them not being held accountable for what they do. All that kind of stuff. So, in this case, that is the case again. Because they really didn't need that informant. Because at the end of the day, they end up killing, you know, Fred Hampton. They killed him. They didn't indict him. They didn't take him to jail. They killed him. Yeah, I know he drugged him, but he was still alive. You know what I'm saying? He didn't kill him. They did. They went over there and they shot him. They really didn't need his help. What you think they did?
During that time, their undercover agents did successfully bring down some Black Panther Party other states like Jersey and all that.
Mm-hmm.
With their undercover.
But the point I'm trying to make is that it looks to me like they used that brother just so he can take the blame, just so that they can, you know, we can point the finger at each other. And that's what we've been doing. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, no, wait a minute. They really didn't need him. What you need him to help find the guy? The guy wasn't hiding. You can't find where the guy lived easily. You got all the records and all that. It's nothing. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, he felt really bad, probably because of the reception that he got, you know, from Blacks.
He looked like Barry White up there.
You know, so it's like, so it's like, you know, I'm not taking away what he did, but the more of the blame goes to them.
He did say, though, he did look up to the FBI agent.
Okay, so.
And they formed a bond.
Oh, okay, so, but I'm getting to the point. Like, they really didn't need his help. They really didn't. Because at the end of the day, they killed him. So I'm like, what the fuck was the point of y'all when you're going to go and kill the guy? So it wasn't hard for you to find the guy. He wasn't running. He was trying to put in work. He was an activist. He was in the local. He was always in Chicago. Yeah, I can see if he was on the run and you needed somebody to help keep up with him. I mean, you threw the man in jail before. You threw him in jail and all that or whatever. He got out. Then you went and you murdered the man. So, y'all murdered him. The white people did. You know, some white people killed him. So, you know, the FBI, the white ran FBI. So, get the fuck out of here. Yeah, let's look at the real. You know, like, I'm not into, I just want to find out the truth. I'm not really into just blaming my own people, but at the same time, if you're in the wrong, you're in the wrong. We know how fucked up we are. We know how we always wrong. We know this. We know this. I said it like I'm Jamaican. We know this. What we need to know and what we need to inform more is about the wrong shit that they do. And in a minute, did we get to talking about people doing wrongdoing? They want to go and try to blame and implement everyone else. No. Stick with it. You fucked up and that's that. Quit trying to go around saying, oh, well, you know, such and such did this and all other coaches did that. Stop that. Be accountable. You talking about you put that against us? Oh, you got to be accountable. Well, you need to be accountable. It's a lot of shit white people done did. A lot. And got away with it and still get away with it.
That shit been going on for centuries, okay? White people have stabbed each other in the back legitly, literally, for years. Like, that shit goes back to Julius Caesar. Like, they literally stabbed that motherfucker in the back. Like, literally. I'm not playing. They called his ass to a meeting in a room full of motherfuckers with togas on, long-ass robes, pulled out knives, and to his surprise, that was his assassination. Bludgeoned this man to death, all because he returned the republic back to the people. And it was senators and politicians around him that believed that he was going to be a tyrant. But, unbeknownst to them, that political gain, because I read all the books, that political gain, they fucked up because they turned into the tyrants, the senators of Rome. Because Rome was a republic at one time. It was for the people. The people made the decisions, which was what Julius Caesar was bringing back to the people. He got assassinated because senators were greedy and they wanted power and they felt that he was going to become a tyrant, which they were wrong about. These dudes legitimately called him to a meeting that he thought was going to be a meeting, and his own brother-in-law stabbed him first. And just repeatedly stabbed his ass till he died. So this shit goes back to civilization. Like, so a lot of the Caucasians is fucked up out there, man. They will stab their own brother and fuck their brother's wives. Well, that's redneck territory. But I don't want to be too specific here. I'm not trying to get a divide here. I don't want to be too specific. That shit happens down there, down south. Don't sit there and cover that shit up. I know that shit happens. You can't tell me Billy Ray just died and you fucking Becky. Don't tell me that. That was Billy Ray's wife. They were sitting there. They had crocodile keychains with each other. You can't tell me that bullshit. That shit happens in the sticks, in the southern countries and shit. States. I said countries. They are countries because they basically think that it's only them down there, you know? Or, like, it'd be funny as shit when I see, like, the Klan members on the news and shit. I'm like, y'all are, like, one group out of, like, many of the minority that are in this country. Like, go to a Hispanic neighborhood or a black neighborhood with that bullshit. And that's going to be funny as hell because I'm going to be right there recording shit for World Star. Because do you realize that all those white racial supremacist groups are in the middle of nowhere in the countryside? Do you realize that they are not out there for their protection? They are hiding. That's what the fuck they are doing. They are in the woods. They don't have no military camp combined and shit. Like, that shit pissed me off with that white militia and shit. Those motherfuckers don't know a day about being a soldier. They got fucking dickies on with camouflage duck hunting jackets, shooting beer cans in the woods, drinking Miller Lite, and eating Kentucky Fried Chicken all day. And they want to talk about they're doing military training and shit. That is shit is a bunch of bullshit. Okay, if y'all really want to see what a military training is, look up the Black Panthers, or look up the history behind the Black Panthers, or look up the Nation of Islam and how their campaign was religion, but how the brothers and the apostles were trained in that community, trained like soldiers. You know, we as people need to realize that we're the stronger ones when it comes down to this racial divide that we have in this country, because we have the mentality and we have that brain power. Because when you see some of these groups that are all white supremacists and shit like that, they the weakest out the flank. They're the ones that you send in first to get, you know, fucked up first. You know, they're the weaker flank, you know. All these white supremacy groups that we see, all the Klan members and all this wearing hoods on, and like, how the fuck can they see out of those potato bags? Like, those shit don't make no fucking sense. And why are they hiding in the first place? That goes back to when you hide your true color of how you see things in the world. When you say you're not a racist, but you're hiding behind a mask, in a sense, right? You know what I'm saying? That's the same with the Klan. What the fuck they hiding behind a mask for? We know they're racist. What the fuck does the mask got to do with anything? And the pointy hats and shit. You know what I'm saying? My thing is, if you're racist, come out about it. Don't be Batman because you don't like Black man. You know what I'm saying? It's because my thing is, hate is also a great example of fear, right? It says so in the movie Judas and the Black Messiah. The political leader, the FBI director, J. Edgar Hoover, who clearly said to the FBI agent, "What are you gonna do when your white girl, when your daughter brings home?" He used the N word, but when you bring home a Black man as a date, that's why they were so afraid of. The Black Panther Party and the organization, because a lot of people in this country need to understand that what governments and higher powers fear the most is people. It's not the mass number of people, it's people. When people revolt, that's what these motherfuckers is afraid of. And when people revolt, they infiltrate a certain society and trends stay on forever. It's like goes back to our conversation as Hispanics in a certain neighborhood, right? They infiltrate. How do they infiltrate? They build little small businesses, and predominantly through the years, you see more and more Hispanics in one neighborhood that was predominantly another race. It's like slow warfare. But guess what, motherfuckers? We up one. Because that's why you see so many white dudes and quote unquote urban clothes and listening to rap music and this and that nowadays, right? We up on them. They don't have a culture no more. You know what I'm saying? That's why you see these dudes that claim that they got their own way of life and, you know, they love themselves and their color or whatever. Yeah, that's cool. Because you're still rapping Lil Wayne and shit. You know? But that's what the government mainly goes back to. It's the people. They went back to Great Britain when they came over here. They tried to do that taxation bullshit. We were like, okay, take your tea. We're going to dump it in the river. And then come over here with yourselves. Because we're going to blast you like a motherfucker. You see what I'm saying? The people revolted against that type of government. Government is afraid of their people. It all goes back to it. It could go back to a king being afraid of his subjects and his people around the kingdom. When I read The Prince, it all goes back to that. When I read The Prince, a famous writer, Machiavelli, talked about the time in Italy and in Florence, the Medici line that reigned over all of Florence and northern Italy. And when France was trying to conquer, Italy was divided. Italy was not even one nation at that time. There was Florence, there was Milan, there was Sicily. There was so many different, like, Italy was divided at that time. So Spain came in and conquered. France came in and conquered. You know what I'm saying? It was so divided. But the main thing in The Prince is, the principles of certain things is, how is your people? what type of ruler are you gonna be? Are you a tyrant? Like, don't get it fucked up. The Medici line, some of it canceled because of the people that revolted within that. They assassinated most of their family, which cut off that reign of royalty. It goes back to the beginning of time. Like, people is who's in control. We as a people are in control, but at the same time, there's a few divide or trying to divide us. The powers may be trying to divide us, right? We can put it in that way. So the powers may be that are trying to divide us. We just got to have that mind, that way of, you're not going to, I'm going to be strong with my people, right? We all come together. It's like, when we all come together, it's martial law at that point. Because you start seeing people being afraid, like with the George Floyd protests and stuff, how we all came together and how the curfew came about because of the COVID. That wasn't because of the COVID. That curfew came about because they was fucking afraid. They were like, damn, look how many people are protesting everywhere. People gotta open their minds and free their minds. Thank you.